Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We hear so much about artificial intelligence, AI, sometimes with hype, sometimes with fear, but there are also very positive aspects, because AI is not just writing emails or painting pictures or helping students with essays. It's now entering the laboratories. Researchers at MIT have in fact used generative AI to design entirely new compounds that can kill drug-resistant bacteria, things like MRSA. To help us understand if this really does mark a new era for science and medicine, we're joined by Dr. Wei Tse Long from the University of Johannesburg, the Academy for Computer Sciences and Software Engineering. Dr. Wei Tse Long, a very good morning. Big picture, are we truly at a point where AI can meaningfully assist us in medical research, or are these just headline-grabbing experiments?
Good morning, Howard, and to your listeners. Actually, this has been the practice. It's actually been the norm for a while. When ChatGPT and all the other large language models first came out and became more popular, there have been existing models specifically tailored to identifying new substances and to assist in discovering new medicines. So I think the people behind Google, even before this large language model first came out, they were looking at how we could fold proteins to come up with new compounds. So this isn't new. It's actually been very established. And all this is doing is it's taking the mundane aspects of, if we mix A and B together, what do we get? Because nobody's going to take the time to do that. Whereas an AI could automate this process, and they would tirelessly work towards mixing A plus B, A plus C, and so on, until there's some tangible, realistic outputs. So yes, this isn't an attention grabbing headline. It is a real thing.
So how is generative AI different from the other computer tools that medical researchers have used for years?
So the generative AI, well, what it's able to do in more in generative AI terms is it's able to make sense of it gives the impression that it's able to understand the context of certain let's say concepts, and say, okay, well, if these are the certain concepts that are in place, then perhaps we can infer the following. But at the end of the day, what the way the research papers have been promoting this at the moment, it's really just trial and error, but tirelessly, you know, something that works tirelessly to say, let's try all this. So you know, this is very similar to what happened when Deep Blue first came out. You know, that IBM computer program that beats Garry Kasparov. It had the huge playbook, and it was able to search all possible moves that chess pieces could be made. And, you know, human is not really able to, or human says, oh, you know, I'm not even going to explore that space. I don't think that's viable. Whereas, you know, if you were researching and said, well, I don't want to do that, but the AI doesn't mind, then let's just go ahead and tell it to explore a bigger space, consider combinations that we didn't think were possible, or we just thought, it's probably nothing that will come out of that space. And let's just explore that space as well, because they don't mind. And then they do it, and then they come up with, here's some tangible, real possibilities.
Do you think that researchers and regulators are ready to handle the speed that AI is going to generate possibilities? Because this changes not only one aspect of it, but it changes the whole ecosystem, doesn't it?
Well, yes, because it helps to speed up medical research. It's able to crunch numbers a lot faster. Look, it's not to say this is 100% safe. There are researchers that have been using AI and say, oh, you know, you just crunch the numbers for me. And it comes up with perhaps a model, and then they take it as the gospel truth. which is very dangerous. So I would think in a medical research space, if the AI comes back and says, oh, I have a solution, it must be tested extensively, you know, to check that it is definitely fine before you move on and say, yes, I have a proper solution. I have seen researchers take whatever the AI spits out and then they'll hold press conferences and say, this is the next big thing. And then meanwhile, it's been disproven. But the damage has been done because people now think, oh, why are you trying to suppress this research? So we're living in a world where, you know, truth doesn't quite matter anymore because AI is also helping to propagate these untruths.
Right. And that's very dangerous. So for the South African and African context specifically, how far are we from seeing AI-driven medical innovation benefiting patients here? Is it already
so
here?
That is... I know of some universities and research labs making use of it, but the use of these AI models and these AI tools, the last I checked, was a little bit still out of reach for South Africans in terms of pricing. But I suppose the bigger, more well-equipped labs could take advantage of these tools and use them. I know NVIDIA had a model that was specifically for biochemistry, and so you've got the big pharmaceuticals using them to discover new drugs easily. So I'm not too familiar with how far we are here, but I do know of a few researchers who are dabbling in that space.
And I guess that if they are designing new compounds that are effective against MRSA and other drug-resistant illnesses, that will benefit us in any event. Do you think that this is the signal for another golden age or a new golden age of antibiotics and medicines?
Well, I'm not a medical expert, but I think this will help accelerate the research. It could also lower down costs because these are all done in a way hypothetically rather than a chemist sitting in some lab somewhere going, okay, I need the materials for ABC and let me try and manually combine them.
That is where we leave it, Dr. Wei Tse Lung. Thank you, as always,
thank you.
chatting to us about generative AI in the medical space.